In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. That's a strange way to start off your sermon, isn't it? Woe to you who want to be here in God's house. Woe to you who want to greet the Lord. Woe to you who are ready to sing your songs, to bring your offerings, and whatever else it is you do in church. Now, we could say Amos is talking to different people, but Amos is still talking to sinners who show up at God's house, not always at the right time and for the right reason. And he warns Israel and he warns us to be careful what you ask for, because you might just get what you're asking for. Lord, come, Israel would sing, especially in times of trouble. Sometimes not realizing that the Lord was the one sending that trouble and that he was coming with the Assyrians or the Babylonians, that he'd come with the Philistines and others to rebuke, to chastise, to discipline his people. Be careful when you invite the Lord into your presence or ask yourself into his presence that you aren't inviting trouble. Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. Why would you have the day of the Lord? Why would you want to meet God face to face in all of his unbridled glory? You look what happens so often in the Bible when God really shines out. Not just himself, even an angel shows up. An angel that's farther away in substance, even though completely holy, perhaps from God, than it is from us, because it is still one of God's created beings. And one angel showing up is enough to make people's knees start knocking, to make them drop their heads, in fact, fall to the ground. Angels have to keep saying, "Stop being afraid." Because when an angel shows up all shiny and glory-like, we get afraid. And that's just one angel. What happens when a bunch of them show up? What happens when all of them show up with the Lord and he's shining like the sun? Be careful what you ask for. Why would you have the day of the Lord? Why would you invite the one who can destroy his entire creation with a word? The one who the scriptures talk about melting the mountains like wax, leveling the uneven places. And it throws words like that out so casually. How long did it take just to build a little two-lane road out here in front of the church? To scrape it, pack it, to pave it, and all of the other things, and then afterwards to keep it maintained. Yet the Lord can make any path he wants immediately. Amos says the day of the Lord is darkness and not light. It's not what the people are expecting when God shows up, but rather it's the opposite of what they're expecting. They're expecting bright, shiny God to come and save his bright, shiny people. Forgetting that in their hearts, if they are coming to God unrepentant, if they are coming to God with greed, with malice, with ill thoughts and ill deeds draped on themselves, they themselves are dark and they deserve only dark. They call for the sun and they get an eclipse. As if a man fled from a lion and a bear met him. Not a particularly good situation, you would think. People run from one trouble to another, or the other illustration then, went into his house and leaned his hand against the wall and a serpent bit him. Not so common here where we have fairly smooth walls, but in places where you're up against rock and it's a hot day outside, the snakes will come in to stay cool. Or if it's a cold night outside, the snakes will come in to stay warm. That's not what you're expecting in your nice, safe home, is it? I said we don't see that too often, although I had friends down in Texas who thought that was their cat moving behind the couch, then realized it was about a 7-foot-long prairie rattler. Fortunately, it didn't get any of them before they got it out of their house. But even in more safe, secure times and places, we can find something like that without even expecting it. And when we ask the Lord to come in and judge the wicked, what if he does come down and judge the wicked? What if you're not one of those bright shining five who have your oil ready so you can fill your lamp and go in with it blazing, but rather you're one of those who said, time out, Lord, I got to go run to the market. Got to see if Casey's got a little lamp oil left. That may not be the case. And even if they do, by the time you get back, if the party starts, the door is locked and you can't come in. Is not the day of the door darkness and not light and gloom with no brightness in it? You keep looking for a sunrise and it just keeps getting darker and darker and darker. You keep waiting for a miracle cure and you just keep getting sicker and sicker and sicker. And then the Lord starts spelling out some specifics. Not only you shouldn't be asking for this, but this is what you're doing already that really has me upset. I despise your feasts. And I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. I don't want you gathering together to worship. It makes me sick. I don't want you coming to the temple, singing the songs as you walk up Mount Zion, or later on then, coming up this hill and plopping your backside down on one of these benches. Can you imagine God saying, get out of here, I'm tired of you? Can you imagine him saying, even though you put money in the plate, you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the peace offerings of your fattened animals, I will not look upon them. You bring God everything good. You offer him your heart. And God says, what a nasty, disgusting thing that is. See, we can't offer God our hearts. We can't offer him anything we have, anything that we are in and of itself. God has to offer you a heart. He has to create within you a clean heart and a right spirit, doesn't he? Otherwise, you're trying to bribe God when you put your money in the plate, when you offer him your songs, when you say, Our Father who art in heaven. Without necessarily thinking those words, but just saying them the way you said them for 10 or 20 or 40 or 60 or 80 or more years. That's part of your solemn assembly, whether it's here or family devotions or any other time. Take away from me the noise of your songs. Oh, granted, we aren't the best singers in the world, and there aren't as many of us as there are in some places, and we don't have a fancy choir, but even the places that have all of that and more, if they do not have faith in the Lord, or if they aren't coming to the Lord for the right reason, then it's all noise to him. One person who believes in him singing out of tune is a more beautiful voice than all the people with perfect pitch joining together without any faith among them. The melody of your harps, I will not listen, nor your organ or your piano or anything else you bring to the worship game. If you are coming with impure thoughts, impure words, and impure deeds, and thinking you can carry them right back out the door once again. Now you do bring them here because you're a sinner. But God wants you to leave them here. Don't offer him your heart. Offer him what stains and darkens your heart. Don't offer him your life, but offer him the life that he gives to you. Don't offer him what you are by birth, by nature, but offer him what he has made you into by rebirth, by the new nature that is yours in baptism. Let justice roll down like the waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Take my word and run with it, God says. Go out and be the believers I have made you into. Don't put on one show in here and then go out there and act completely contrary. And if you go back through Amos and look at some of the things they're doing, they're cheating the poor, they're taking advantage of one another, they can't wait till the church is over, till the Sabbath rest is done, so they can go out on their merry way and take and steal and rob and hurt others in whatever way they think they can get away with. God doesn't want that. God wants you to know how dark and sinful you are by nature, and he wants to know how he has lightened and brightened you in his love. By his peace, by his presence, by word and sacrament, by his Holy Spirit, who you just prayed for in our first hymn of the day, to come to you, lighten your dark days, strengthen your feeble limbs, clarify your blurry, confused and often wrong thoughts. And in all ways fix that which is wrong for you living in this life so that you can live the life that God intends, not that you do. Then you can start asking for the day of the Lord to come. Then you can start saying, Lord, I wish you would end this all. Confident that when he ends it all, you're going to be with him. Remember how the apostle said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But the gain only comes if you are living in Christ and Christ living in you. It's no gain if you do the worship show, but there's no go through the rest of the week. Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. Woe to anyone who says, Amen, come Lord Jesus. And then says to the poor, to the disenfranchised, to the hurting, to the bruised and battered and afflicted of this world, go away, don't bother me. Who doesn't have the time or the treasure to help those in need. Whether through offerings in church, whether through charitable contributions, whether showing up and helping somebody who has a special need, or just staying there as close as you can to listen to their troubles when they have special worries, special concerns, special hurts. Because then we just walk deeper into darkness. The woe continues if the Lord isn't shining in us and through us. He won't despise your feasts. He won't despise you coming to church. He won't despise you putting a little extra in the offering plate. If that's not a bribe, but rather a response. If you're not trying to soothe your conscience, but you come giving because your conscience has been soothed, cleared. Because we can't pay God to take away our sins. He paid the price of his own son to take them away. And all we can do in that regard is say, yes, thank you, more please. And when we do that, when we say in whatever way, in any confession we have, I'm sorry to someone who we've hurt, around our family, our church, or any place else. I'm sorry to God. I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you. Sinful, unclean, temporal, eternal. All of those things we say at the beginning of worship services and throughout our days, when we say them and mean them, when we are truly sorry for what we have done and truly want the Lord to amend and fix us, he's working on it even before we're done asking. And he's coming to us with his light shining. We can't delay until that last day of the Lord and think everything's going to be okay, because every day is a day of the Lord. Every day people die. And there's no do-overs. No second chances after that. The world may last for hundreds, thousands, millions of years. We don't know. But I can guarantee that you're not going to last for hundreds or thousands or millions of years. And whenever that final great day of the Lord is, how many people have already met their own day of the Lord, their own end? And how many of them were ready to see him in his glory during the resurrection? So watch, wait, be ready. These last few Sundays are times of special preparation, but really, every Sunday could be your last Sunday. And so every day should be your preparation. Every day you should be ready to greet the Lord just as you do your family members and your friends. Every day you should be thankful for his presence, humbled by his grace, and willing to give him everything that's wrong with you, that he can give you everything that's right from him. And then there will be no woe, but rather that great and wonderful day of the Lord will be a thing of beauty. You, like Paul says, will be caught up with all the believers, the dead ones and the ones who are still walking and talking and singing and shouting and praying and doing whatever else it is, living, breathing human beings too. And all of those faithful, the long dead and the just born, will be caught up by the Lord to live with him forever and ever. So pray for that day of the Lord, but be careful what you're praying for and how you're praying it, and know that he will come, that he will judge, and that if you believe in Jesus, he will judge you righteous, innocent, and blessed, and will invite you to the marriage feast where you will live forever and ever. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace that surpasses understanding keep you in Christ Jesus.